We have a this schmooze. I can't take credit for it because it's official. This is not a Wednesday schmooze. So I'm saying over, this is a Rosh Hashiva schmooze. It's in the Chidush HaLev. Again, I don't know the person who wrote it. I happen to remember that, when it was written, there was a debate about how to write it, because I have a recollection that the Rosh Hashiva said something, and I don't, and they were debating whether they should put it into the Sefer, because I'm not sure if it's mukhruch or not. So I left it out, but I do believe the Rosh Hashiva said it, so we'll point out the way I think the Rosh Hashiva said it. But the Maisa, it's a very Yisaitis Ikashmuz. And it's such a Yisaitis Ikashmuz that even though I get absolutely not, usually I cannot never do this, but I think it's Kedai to say it over. There is, after the Cheta Ego, there's some very, very difficult psukim, which are hard to understand what they mean. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he's going to send a Malach, which is apparently was a Yerida. Until then, they were having Klashem himself going with them. Shalafti Malach. What that means, what the difference. You know, obviously, a Malach can't do anything except beyond Hashem. It's like the Malach. We don't believe Malachim have any power on their own. So if a Malach does something, it's also Hashem. It's Hashem. The Malach is the Shliach of Hashem. He's just going to do what Hashem tells him to do. So exactly the difference between Shalat and Pasuk Beis, Shalat and Fanecha Malach, how that is worse than what it was before when it was direct, don't know. You know, how have I, we had a Malach. You know, Gerashti as a Kanani, we don't, obviously today we don't even have that, to say like a clear Malach, throwing away the Goyim. But Hashem said there'll be some hashgacha which will be less direct something. And the reason is because you're Amkshe Oref. And if Hashem directly would be with them, then they would be, it would be an Aveira. They would be, you know, they can't, they're not on the Madrega that they can have Hashem with them directly. So the Pasuk Dawit says, Vayishma Ames Adavar Raz, Vayis Avalu. They felt terrible. The very unclear pasuk, what that means. They didn't put on their crowns. So Rashi has a pshat, which we're not going to go into. That's the usual pshat. But what does that mean? And then Hashem says, Vayom Hashem O Moshe, that the Yam is Am Kshei Oref, which is some kind of, where is the Hemshuch? It's as if Klai Yisrael did something wrong. So the Rabbag says as follows. Below also ish edge of Elov. Achshov. Where the Pasuk Dawit. What I think. Sha'rotzen azeh. The pshat is. Ha'edi shenosem b'matan Torah. The aid means a crown that was given out to her. It doesn't mean literally a crown. Rashi may be seen to say it is a crown. It was not a literal crown. Who hanimis ha'tori. This is the Torah behavior, the beauty of Torah. It's a crown. A person who follows the derech ha'Torah is wearing a crown. Not physically, but figuratively. Shu edi v'shlemis. It's an aid and shlemis. It's an aid. The mishris aibo. The kvar kosa v'inyaz v'omar. Shem it's not so edi. Shem mehar choreif. They got rid of this crown, ukiido kisiro savara meal mitachas oatar, which is a very strong lashon. They basically threw off kiido. Okay, it's a very qualification, but it's kiido. They threw off the yoke of Torah. Sounds pretty bad. Vasiba oisa. Why did they do this? Kikvar huftechu bekibulam haTorah shehashkochas Hashem yisale tivavik bamimnei haTorah. They were promised that if they accept the Torah, they will get this tremendous hashkacha pratis direct. And kimo shekodam, like it's mentioned earlier, when they saw they lost it, dimu, they felt Torah has no value. Zaya Mary Shani. So what is not written in the Chidush HaLev, but I believe the Rosh Hashiva said, but apparently it wasn't written because they didn't want to say it for sure. I'm not I wasn't sure he said it. His Rashiva was medayik from the word Zaya Meri Sheni, that this Aveira in the Rabag's mind was on par with the Cheta Egel. Otherwise, he was, you know, that was, I think Rashiva wanted to make such a diik. If the Cheta Egel was so much greater, and this is relatively small, you wouldn't call it Meri Sheni. Meri Sheni means it's on the same, it's not have to be exactly as great, but it's similar. It's on the same ball game. But what it means is, according to Rabag, Bnei Yisrael did here a very serious Aveira. According to everybody else, it doesn't mean that. It's an interesting. Rabag is totally different than everyone else. And this is not, you know, we have in the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Klai Yisrael did 10 Aveiras. According to everybody else, this is not counted in one of the Aveiras. This might even been a mitzvah. But according to Rabag, this was a serious Aveira that Klai Yisrael did. What motivated the Aveira? Every Aveira has to have a cause. There was no taiva. There was no reason here. So the reason was, according to the Rabag, because since they felt bad that they lost a certain amount of tzveikus by Kosh Baruch Hu, therefore they went ahead and they were ki'ilu, they said, forget the whole thing. So the obvious kasha is that l'chara is pumfakirat. If a person does an aveira, and because of that he feels he lost some of his kedusha, so now he appreciates the kedusha more. So whatever kedusha he has left, we would think he would value it more. If I had something, I had two beautiful vases, and then I was reckless and I broke one. So now I'm going to be more careful not to break the other one. You know, that's okay. We always think that feeling bad is constructive. It's good. You learn your lesson. You see what happened. You did an Aveira. Look what it caused. Look how you lost so much ruchnius. So now you're going to be misoyer to be more careful. That's the common assumption. Here, it worked the other way. They felt bad. And because they felt bad, instead of being more careful, so they shouldn't lose more. When they feel bad, they felt bad because they lost ruchnius. So then they threw the rest away. It doesn't make sense. So apparently the psychology is that sometimes when a person can get so upset about what he lost that he can feel that what he has left is worthless. That's what he says here. Dimush ain't toels and betayra. They felt that this is worthless. I lost so much. Whatever is left is almost. I had $1 million. I lost 999,000. So what? So the whatever is left is nothing. Now in reality, that wasn't true. In reality, Klai Yisrael were amazing. They were still having the mud. They were still having the bear. They were still having Anane Kavod. They were having Nisim Guluyim every day. They still had Moshe Rabbeinu. They still had El Nitna Torah Ochleimon, right? They were on flying high, you know, way, way up there, She'en Kamoyo. But somehow or another, it's not logical necessarily, but it's an emotional. When they got upset about what they lost, which we don't even know what it was, because it's something, assume it was a great thing, okay? So, and the truth is, according to many Mephorshim, they eventually got it back. So that would have been what we would have thought would be the normal approach. You're upset that what you lost, so do tshuva, and you'll get it back. But instead of working on getting back what they lost, they went ahead and said, so what we got left is garnish, is no good, even though they had 99% left, because they had the whole Torah, they had all the mitzvahs, they have everything we have today. They had, we say, nisim guluyim. They had with the you know, if you people the chazal, the man was a meichel malochim. There was a special kedusha eating the man. They had the anane kavod was total isolation. It was you were surrounded by an atmosphere of kedusha. They had so much. And yet, they had an expression of, it's all worthless, and therefore, they're not going to do any, they're not going to keep anything. So Reshiva said here, a gevaldike, gevaldike site, which is a theme that Reshiva used to say many times. But this was, I think, of all the places where he says it most beferish, that we always think that charata and averis is productive. Person does an avera, tshuva. Tshuva is charata or aver, kaboa or osed. And it's a good thing to do charata. Charata means it's partial tshuva, and charata is going to stop you from doing it again. You learned your lesson. Person feels bad. He did an avera. If you don't feel bad, so you'll just do it again. But if you feel bad, oh, now you'll learn your lesson. Now you'll be more careful. Here it comes out that the more they felt bad, the worse it was. If they wouldn't have been so feeling so bad, if they wouldn't have been vayisavlu, they would have understood logically that what they have still is very, very precious, and they wouldn't have thrown it away. It was because they got so worked up and so emotional about what they lost that in their emotional state of feeling so bad for what they lost, they somehow or another made the misjudgment that what they have is worthless. Right? So the charata was caused them to make a major mistake. The charata caused them to get a perception of that what they have is not worth anything, and therefore the charata caused them to throw everything out. So what the Shir basically said is that what you see from here is that sometimes too much charata is dangerous. And that is a major rule, that on one hand, charata is good, because charata stops you, otherwise you do it again. But if you, there's not even something good, too much of a good thing is not healthy. So too much charata for any avera can be extremely, extremely dangerous. Rav Shiva used to always say, you have to see, is this charata causing you to do more mitzvahs or causing you to do more averis? If it's helpful for you to do more mitzvahs, it's good. If you see the result of your charata that it's getting you down and therefore you're not coming to Seder, you're not functioning, you're not learning well, you don't have your tshukas achayim, then it's from the Yetzara and it's bad. So this is really the mekor of that hashkafa, that a person, especially if you use that diyuk of Mary Shani, which I'm not sure if the Rishiva said. If I was sure the Rishiva said it, I would have written it. But I think he said it, but I wasn't sure. If you use it that diyuk, the Klal Yisrael, according to Rabag, came to a very, very serious aveira, command on the level of Cheta Ego. Cheta Ego is considered always the greatest aveira. The two big ones in the midwar, Cheta Ego and Cheta Meraglim. But Cheta Ego is definitely, Tzoyko Adairis is considered one of the major Averis of Klal Yisrael, and they did an equivalency, Avera, because of a seemingly a good thing. They got too down on an Avera. So I photocopied on the back, this isn't really from Rav Volba, he says a letter which basically says the exact same thing, and it's an amazing letter. And I want to read it. Would you read the letter? Basically, it's a letter, the Echad Shenichshol Bechet. Okay? It doesn't say what Chet. See, it might be obvious. Okay, Yedidei Yoker. I skipped the first paragraph. Hafsek, stop. Lechapesh b'svarim mashmedabram oso Chet. Stop reading in the svarim what they talk about that aveira. I assume he's talking about the Avera of Zerda Vatoa. Assume. Stop reading the Svarim. Yeshiva also, I know years ago in Eretz Yisrael, there was a Sefer I found on that topic, which I thought was an excellent Sefer on the topic, because it had all kinds of suggestions of how to deal with it. And I sent a copy to Rabbi Trapper, and he said, no way. He said, don't give it out to anyone. Because at the same time, the Sefer did mention, had a perek on the Choymer of the Avera, and Rabbi Trapper said she was very much against it. Part of the logic was very simply that he said that all the Chazals that talk about the Choymer Avera are talking about the Mezid, and we're not Nichshol B'Mezid. But whatever it is, he says, stop reading this farm on the topic. And whatever you wrote down, tignos, basically put it in Seamus. Okay. The Yetzer that brings in his chayt is so tricky. Any thought about the chayt, afiru makshava shel charat of a tshuva, even thinking about doing tshuva, alula ligro shuvas a Yetzer lafer, it can bring the Yetzer again. It is also a lecha v'derech hafucha, you have to go on the opposite approach. He quotes a perek Yavis. You have to forget about it. You learn at the Okay, let's read the next paragraph. I know I trust you that when you have any son, you'll try to fight. But it's a hard battle. Many times you succeed. But sometimes the Yetzirah wins. Yeah, sometimes you win some, you lose some. If you're nichshol, don't think about it. Don't take it to heart. Push out any thought about it. Ubiprat hizor me yish, then surely don't come to yish. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's look at the last paragraph. Yodeani, I know. Shederech shebiarti lecho idigamri acher mikom asher isa. In other words, he's saying that if you're nichshol in the avera, the best thing is not to think about it. Somewhere else, Rav Ober writes that you should not think about it until Rosh Hashanah. That's what he writes. In other words, Rosh Hashanah, you go ahead, or Yom Kippur, not Yom Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you think about it, you say vidui, and then you forget about it. But you shouldn't think about it the whole year. As it says, the whole year. It's not productive. It's not productive to think about it. So he says, I know that this derech seems against everything you see, because we always see that charata, mitzvah to have charata on the averis. So Rav Ova's answer is, yeah, come Rosh Yom Kippur, you have charata. Who says you have to have charata all the time? Avol yesh al derech zos haskamis maran achazon ish. Kusla yoganeina, right? So he says that he spoke to the chazon ish, it's a pretty good haskama, and the Chazon Ish said that this is the right approach. The right approach is you, if a person is nichshol, you forget it. Because those koshrus ragel lo achshol, even though you're going to accept that I'm saying that this is the right approach, it's hard to do. Lo losim leiv, not to take to heart. Vishtamid shuv mitzayir machshavas karata, sometimes you can't even help it. You just automatically feel charata, yogon v'yish, chatasham. V'chein evakisha, I ask you, likra michtav zeh midei pam. Keep this letter with you and read it over numerous times. Okay? Hashem yitzvara yadakha, yadakha shamayda, mayda ter yishamayim, ashetishka miyechta. Okay. All right. Anyway, basically, so this, I think this is the same hashkafa as what Yeshiva was saying from the Rabag, that there are, obviously it depends on the Avera, it depends on the situation. For whatever reason, you have to know when to apply it and when not. In the Rabag, we just know that when a person feels very strong karata, it is counterproductive. Here, it sounds like there's another reason, because it seems like that the charata itself is ma'ira de taiva, because it reminds you of the avera, and therefore is ma'ira de taiva, but it seems to say in the beginning. And also it has a very, for whatever reason, this particular avera, because it's maybe it's person feels it's low, so a person, somehow it causes greater a feeling of yish and depression, which is not healthy. But whatever it is, the Rav Ober says basically the same idea as Rav Shiva, that by certain averes and certain times, you have to know whether charata is productive or not productive. And if it's not productive, you're not supposed to think about it. Person can be nichshol, and then that's it. It's over. Okay, you win, you know, so you lost. I was telling someone yesterday, I don't remember, that my father-in-law told me a story. He said that he was in the Russian army in Russia and during World War II. He ran away from Lita into Russia, and he was in the Russian army, and he was very fortunate that he grew up on a farm and he was good with horses. So they put him in charge of the general's horse. It was a very good thing because the general didn't go to the front. So he got to stay behind in the general while all the soldiers went to the front and got killed. But the general stood on the side and watched his men get killed. So he stood with the general because he took care of the general's horse. But he said that was his job. He had to take care of the horse. He said, so one day the horse got upset about something and he basically kicked him in the mouth and knocked out all his teeth. And I found that all his teeth, his front teeth, were knocked out. They were gold, whatever. He lost all his front teeth. You know. So I remember, he was telling this story. So my wife asked my father, you know, when that happens, were you devastated? You know, all your front teeth just got knocked out. So he said, when you're in World War II, you don't get devastated about anything. Okay, you can't go ahead and sit there and cry because you lost your front teeth. Like, forget it. There's just no time, no energy. You can't spend time on feeling bad about the fact that all your front teeth just got knocked out. You know, now I can feel bad about it. But then you just laugh, you make a joke about it, and you go right there. That's the only thing you can do, because what else are you going to do? And they're in the middle of the war. So that is, in a certain sense, the attitude here. A person, you get your teeth knocked out. Okay, you did lose something. The person is nichshol in the aveira. A person, Klal Yisrael, lost, obviously they lost something serious. They lost something serious. We don't know exactly what it was, but it is a serious loss. But it's not productive. This is not the time and place to go ahead and feel bad about it. Rabbi said, you want to wait till Yom Kippur? You know, that when you're saying vidui, okay, you have your hour slot, or maybe a whole day, you can feel bad about it, do your charata and vidui, and then finish. But during the year, you have a mission. Your mission there is to go ahead and to learn, to say chidushim, to learn bahasmada, and getting down about people doing averes, he said, we'll go ahead and detract you from your mission. And therefore, Rav Ovadia said, it is not productive. It is not something you're supposed to do. You're supposed to learn, say chidushim, and be besimcha. Right? That's what he says. You have to learn with hasmada, say chidushim, and also besimcha. And too much charata and averes is obviously person can't focus, and you surely can't be besimcha, and you can't learn well. So it's the extension of the Reshiva's Chiddush, based on the Beferish of Rabag, that it is possible that misplaced Avedis and Avera can come ahead and cause tremendous other Averas.